Susie Larson. Thanks for listening to the podcast of Susie Larson Live. It's only just a matter of welcome to Susie Larson Live. Always so honored to get to spend this time with you. In fact, I look forward to bringing you conversations every single day that hopefully inspire you in your faith walk, that deepen your understanding of God's Word, and that heightens your awareness of His very real presence in your life. I don't know about you, but I've been profoundly burdened for what's happening in the Middle East and even for the sudden rise of anti-Semitism in our own nation. Lord, have mercy. You know, behind the scenes, I'll just tell you, I've been fasting, I've been weeping, I've been mourning, I've been praying for this situation. And I don't do like debates on social and political issues on social media. I just absolutely won't. It's just, to me, it's adding to the noise. I mean, some, they feel they're obeying God and taking their stand, and I'm not. If they're supposed to do that, they're supposed to. I'm not. But I do take my time behind the scenes to try to be part of the solution in the best way I know how, but really felt burdened today that we need to talk about it. And I couldn't think of anybody that I would trust more to get insights from on what's happening and what God wants us to know, what God wants us to do, than our good friend Tom Doyle. And we often have he and his wife Joanne on the show to get a faith perspective on the Middle East. And Tom writes this, and I've quoted this before, but I think you need to hear it today. These words were published, I think, years ago, but they're now words for us right now. He says, there's no doubt about it. We live in a dangerous world. But instead of motivating Christians in the West to action, today's headlines appear to paralyze us. We're never called to live in fear, even though the times we're living in are frightening. We are right on course with the very plan of God for this world. Things are not falling apart. They're falling into place. And some of his books that you want to read, his books read like novels. They're unbelievable stories of Muslims coming to the faith, of escaping for their lives or actually giving their lives. But they're such storytellers, Tom and Joanne, that you will forget to breathe as you're reading their books. And a few of them are Standing in the Fire, Courageous Christians Living in Frightening Times. One he wrote with Joanne, his wife, Women Who Risk, Secret Agents for Jesus in a Muslim World. Absolutely unbelievable books. I strongly encourage you to check them out. A couple of quick announcements before we hear from Tom. If you've not downloaded the Faith Radio app, it's free and it's awesome because that way you can travel and take us with you and you can live stream the shows from anywhere and also catch podcasts on that app. Just go to the App Store, search Faith Radio Network and you'll find it. And for those of you who live in the Twin Cities area, I'll be speaking at the Sisterhood event at Emmanuel Christian Center on Friday, November 3rd. And it's free, and those people know how to throw a party. That's always such an amazing event. Super honored. Mark your calendars. Come if you can. Friday, November 3rd. And then for those of you who live in Pennsylvania, I'll be at Hershey Lodge for the Inspire Conference, November 9th through 11th. Hope to see you there. Now let me tell you about my guest. We'll get him on the show. Tom Doyle is president and founder of Uncharted Ministries, an accomplished author, popular international speaker, pastor and minister to the unreached, and veteran tour guide in Israel and the Middle East. His book, Standing in the Fire, was a finalist for the ECPA Book of the Year in 2018. Dear Brother Tom, thanks for joining us. Welcome back to the show.
Oh, it's so good to be with you, Susie. Such an important day to be with you. Thanks for having me.
I can't wait for you to explain that, and I'm going to ask you about that in a little bit. But before we even dig into our topic today, and I'm sure this time, you know, what God is speaking about probably relates to our topic, but just in your time with the Lord, what has He been impressing upon your heart?
So many verses of His power and His love just have been jumping out. I do a Bible text with people and friends, and I've been in Isaiah, and this from Isaiah 54:10, though the mountains be shaken and the hills be removed, yet my unfailing love for you will not be shaken. And that's who we trust in the midst of this right now, because this is a 24/7 coverage of what's happening in Israel and Gaza, much like 9/11 for us in America. People are obsessed, but we've got to go back to the fount of truth. We got to go back to the rock that we stand on, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's with us. He's moving. He's not sitting in heaven biting his nails. This is under his control. And so we trust him in the midst of this horrible situation we're seeing happen right now.
Well, thank you for that. Fill us in a bit on Gaza, how it came under control of Hamas.
Well, you know, we started going there in 2001, and the Palestinian Authority was in control, but then they had an election in 2006, I believe it was, and we were going in and out, and of course, Palestinian Authority was the government in control, so it was in the West Bank, and it looked like they were going to win the election easily. Well, we happened to go in right before the election, and all of a sudden, it was crazy, Susie, that there was just a sea of green flags all over the place. Those are Hamas flags. And I said to one of the Christian leaders there, do you think they stand a chance in this election? He said, they're going to win easy. I said, what? He said, yep, it's going to happen. They have convinced the people. They are their champions. They're going to fight for them. And the people have gone from loathing them as a terrorist group to wanting to support them as the government. Mm-hmm. They're going to win easy. And they did.
Wow.
And that just changed everything in Gaza and really the whole Middle East.
So they were duped, basically, because as far as I understand it, even when aid is sent in, it doesn't go to the people. It funds the terrorist organization, right?
That's right. I mean, the Atlantic Monthly ran a story of some Palestinians that were interviewed some years ago, and they identified 700 millionaires that live in Gaza, 700 million. We've been in there. There are homes that if you cropped out what was around them and looked at it, you'd guess maybe Santa Barbara, California. These are where the Hamas leaders live. This is where they spend their money. And so believers have to be really careful when they send money to help the Palestinians that don't want what's going on with Hamas to make sure they go through trusted organizations, because a lot ends up in Hamas hands. And even Christian ministries have been duped, sadly. So, terrorism is big business, sadly.
Wow. Talk to us about the cities and the towns around the Gaza Strip and why Jews would live near them. It seems so dangerous, but have they felt a sense of safety to coexist and just have learned the rules, or how does that work?
Yeah, when the disengagement happened, and there were actually Jewish settlements inside Gaza, heavily guarded, a lot of military presence there from Israel, and Ariel Sharon, when he was the prime minister, decided they're going to pull out as a gesture of peace, hoping that if the Palestinians have 100% of the Gaza Strip, that this would be a good step forward. It really didn't work. I remember the last Jewish person that was pulled out. And of course, they had raised their kids there, and she was kicking and screaming. It was a horrible thing for them. But then some cities outside of Gaza in Israel proper started springing up, villages, towns, and they started living there because they trusted in Israel's security and their military to save them if there was a conflict. So one person that lived there said, you know, Tom, yeah, there were rocket attacks and things like that occasionally, but we were protected by the military, and it was cheap land, and we liked living there as young people, and it was affordable, and there was a lot of farming that went on too, Susie. So they lived kind of a good life down there, surprisingly, living right next to the Gaza Strip. But then, of course, when they broke through the fence on Saturday, everything changed, and it just went chaos. It was horrific. The intelligence failed. The army was nowhere to be found. It was a complete surprise for Israel. And then, of course, we saw all of that lived out on TV. Unspeakable offenses against women and children. It's just, you've seen it on TV. There's no need to go further on that. But horrific things. It was worse than we saw with the Islamic State. And that was pretty bad.
Do you feel something? What broke down with the IDF? Like, why were they? I mean, I remember hearing somebody high up in the military. Somebody quoted this person saying, "I know when a rabbit runs in somebody's yard.
Yeah.
I don't know how we missed this." So, how did they miss it?
Yeah, I mean, the best guess, and what Israel does is they go and fight the war left, right, and middle. They come together left, right, and middle politically, and then they try to figure it out later. They don't have time, you know, right now, but so all of us are kind of guessing. But it looks like Russia taught Hamas how to launch the drones and blow up the Israel Communications Center. So nobody was getting word of this. If you can even imagine, the Prime Minister of Israel did not know about this as it was happening in real time. And finally they did. But the army was up north and they had to scramble and get back. And it was hours before they were able to respond. So it's very much like the Yom Kippur War when Golda Meir was the prime minister and they were completely surprised. It was staged on a Jewish holiday that ended on Shabbat, that came on Shabbat. And so it was really just a nightmare scenario for Israel and a total lapse in security and communication.
Talk about the significance of the 50-year anniversary and attacking on these holy, you know, days on the Jewish calendar. It just seems such an in-your-face kind of attack, you know.
Yeah, it really does, Susie. There's a reason for that. Obviously, it's planned. It didn't just, it's not a coincidence. And by the way, in the Hebrew language, they don't have a word for coincidence, you know, they don't. And so it happened, and it was a planned attack that they've been planning for about a year, we know. Hamas has been in cahoots with other terrorist groups and other nations. Obviously, Iran is behind it, fueling it with their money. And then we believe Russia helped train them on how to get through the security and do this, which Hamas, as they've interviewed some of them that were captured, they said they were shocked that they were able to go through and nobody even shot at them. And so, Susie, we have been in the Gaza Strip when one Hamas terrorist got over the fence, and they were either arrested immediately or shot. This is 1,500, maybe even 2,000, they're saying, that happened and immediately flooded the towns and the villages, that party that the young people were at. And so all of this coincides with around the same time the Yom Kippur War, when Israel was surprised and the very nation was hanging in the balance. And if we tuned into this on Saturday, we wondered what's going to happen to the Jewish state. Are they going to be able to recover? It's so bad right off the bat. But I'm just thankful to be with you on this day because it's a day we should be praying. Hamas has called for a day of rage or global jihad. And of course, this always coincides with their Friday prayers in the mosque, because that's where they can rev up people to go out and commit these acts. And there are a lot of Palestinians in Gaza that just absolutely detest Hamas. In fact, the last approval rating they took, they had a 3% approval rating.
Wow.
The majority of the people are not there. But somehow, Susie, when Israel fights back, this just seems to swell the ranks of the people that now support them. And so that's what you're seeing on TV.
So much deception. We're going to talk about that on the other side of the break, and we're not going to go just yet, but I want to make sure friends know at some point during the show, we're going to talk about some of the miraculous interventions that you won't hear on the news, but that we are privy to because of Tom and his connection to the Middle East. But we're also going to explore why the rise of anti-Semitism, and that in part is because Israel's fighting back, but it's so hard to understand. And we've got more to talk about in that. But what, you know, a friend of mine saw, I don't know where he saw this interview, but he was talking about one of the Hamas soldiers who were captured and was interrogated, that he said, as soon as we saw division in the nation, because there was political division over, you know, just a pretty strict political divide, we knew they were in a weakened state. And I'm telling you, Tom, that almost made my knees buckle. Because we would be absolutely ignorant to think that our enemies aren't watching us about kill each other with our divisive attitudes. And Christians, we're right in there in the midst of it. I mean, say a word, if you would, about that.
Oh, my gosh. Israel has, what is it, I think 38 political parties. Politics is their favorite indoor sport. It just got fever pitch. You could see all the Israelis protesting from the left, from the right. They're all carrying flags. And their enemies knew that this was the time to strike because they were concerned with internal things and they'd taken their eye off the ball security wise. And so it was the perfect timing, perfect storm. Sadly, very scary when you think about it for our country right now.
Yeah. So go to break. I want you to remember scripture then, because we're not wanting to inspire fear, but want to be sober and alert. But remember what Jesus says. If my people who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray, turn from their wickedness, repent of their sins, I will turn to them. I will hear their prayer and I will heal their land. There are so many Christians in America, and it is time for us to wake up. It's time for us to bow low. It's time for us to cry out to God. And even, you know, in any way, shape, or form, if the Lord is showing you, I know I have so much angst about the divisiveness and the division, but I have frustrations about different policies too. And the Lord keeps pressing on me. You watch your heart. You're responsible for your heart. It's the pure in heart that see God. So fight for a pure heart so you can see God and hear him in this place, so you can stand in intercession. And if this is supposed to be a day of rage, then maybe we fast and let's pray and let's wake up and let's stand in faith, because there's no God like our God. Talking to Tom Doyle today about the crisis in the Middle East and what we as God's people should do. How should we respond? More with Tom Doyle in a minute. Hey friends, this is Suzy Larson, host of Suzy Larson Live. And I just want to remind you that October is Pastor Appreciation Month. So if you are a podcast listener who happens to be a pastor, hear me now. I want to say with all my heart, thank you for all that you endure, all that you absorb that nobody ever sees, all that you steward behind the scenes that God sees. With all my heart, I want to say thank you. We at Faith Radio, we bless you. We honor you for your sacrifice. And I pray in the days ahead, God gives you glimpses of glory and fruit from your labor, just enough to encourage you onward, to know that a brighter day awaits you. Keep on keeping on, friend, because you're making a difference. And if you're a podcast listener who has a pastor, which I'm pretty sure that's true, would you honor your pastor? Send them a note. Send them out to dinner. Give them a gift card. Think of a creative way to say, I see you, I honor you, and I bless you for all the hard work you do, most of which I never see, but God does. Thank you, friends, for listening. We love serving you all together, connecting faith to life on Faith Radio. Thanks so much for tuning in to Suzy Larson Live. Having a sobering but very important conversation today with our good friend Tom Doyle. We like to have both Tom and Joanne on the show once in a while to get a faith perspective from the Middle East. And it felt extremely important to talk today about what's going on. And Tom, you note this is, you know, this was sort of divine. You and I have been texting back and forth, and it just so worked out to talk today. And you said this is a significant day on the calendar. Would you explain that again, please?
Yeah, so Hamas has called for a day of rage, a global jihad. A lot of times there's these like blustery commands coming out of the Gaza Strip and nobody really listens to it, or they're calling for all the Muslims to unite in Israel to fight against the Zionist enemy, they would say, and it doesn't happen. It just doesn't happen. But what we're seeing is somehow, as this is unfolded and Israel is in Gaza and it's devastation all over, it seems to be uniting people. And I see this uniting people against Israel around the world. So I would think that the average Muslim living in America, the reason they left Gaza is they don't want to live under that, you know, or maybe they're in Europe and they were under a terrorist group. But all of a sudden with this, it's much bigger than just the war in Israel. And we always say this, Suzy, that the physical war on the ground is just a reflection of the spiritual war raging in the heavenlies. So this is bigger. This is spiritual. This is evil angels fighting against the good angels. This is bigger than what we're seeing. And it is all of a sudden bringing people to the Palestinian cause to fight against Israel. So we're seeing protests all over. And of course, wherever there are mosques, they're firing up Muslims with the sermons, death to Israel. I'm not saying all the mosques are like that. They're not. There's some in America that are nice, peaceful mosques. They don't want anything to do with this. But the ones that are prone to go radical are being catapulted into this situation. And, Suzy, something I was thinking about for America, just when we thought we couldn't get any more polarized, we have another wedge that's been driven between us.
It's amazing.
There's the Israel side and then there's the Palestinian side. And all of us as believers would feel our hearts tugged on what is happening to Palestinians that want nothing to do with this in the Gaza Strip, and a lot of times aren't eating, and it's terrible. We've been there at least 15 times, but it's the terrorism that people are being drawn to, and they're some of the signs and people holding up phones in Times Square with the Nazi flag on it. Wow, this is over the top. And it just spread like a fire with gasoline thrown on it. And so anyway, that's where we are. And we see it as a dividing line today. Some churches and schools are being watched out for, because who knows what could happen if church is known as being pro-Israel, or if you have an Israel flag outside your house or whatever. So it's a significant day. But in the midst of this, you know, you were talking about politics, Susie, and I think that we have to not respond from the vantage of a political party. We have to respond from the vantage of the kingdom of God.
Come on. Amen.
That's our loyalty first.
Amen.
And
we're
seeing some beautiful things happen between Palestinians and Jewish believers. Someone that I was privileged to lead to faith in Gaza, his name is Mohammed, and that's a super common name there, right? You know, there are a lot of them named Mohammed. He loves the Lord Jesus dearly, and on Saturday, he just started texting me, and we started getting the messages, and he told me what refugee camp he was in. It's very difficult, and immediately he goes into this: our condolences to my Israeli brothers who died.
Wow.
And we ask the Lord Jesus Christ to have mercy on them, forgive them, and dwell with them. And then he goes on: Hamas knows no mercy. They are criminals. We ask the Lord Jesus Christ to take revenge on them. Very terrible scenes of the killing of Israeli brothers. I tell my fellow Israelis that I love them all as I love the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that's not going to be seen on the news. It's
right.
You just would never fathom that. Later on, he sends me another one. And guess what he was made to watch? They pushed all of the Gazans out to see the parade of the women and children that they captured. And he said, it's true. I'm so sorry. I was forced to watch it. I sat with tears in my eyes. It's a terrible sight to see women captured. Hamas has no mercy in their hearts. They are criminals. And I cry for my Israeli brothers because they are human beings.
Wow. Lord have mercy. And this is why we remember our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers of the darkness. And, you know, because we've already been set up and sort of conditioned in our, not just our culture and not just American Western culture, but really around the world, you're seeing this, where we want to paint people with a broad stroke so that you can vilify or validate them. It's everywhere. So some are interpreting when we say what Hamas did to the Jewish people is evil, they think, because I'm watching a lot of posts, I'm stunned by the reaction, but a lot of people are saying that when you say that, you're saying that the Palestinians don't matter, and it's just not true. And that I love what you said in a back and forth text, that God's heart is big enough for Arabs and Jews, for Arab Christians and Jewish Christians. Mm-hmm. These are people made in his image. And there are plenty of Palestinians who hate what Hamas has done, and they feel powerless over that situation. So we've got to pray and not be painting with a broad stroke. But what is so troubling to me, Tom, is, you know, first of all, there was sympathy for what happened to the Jewish people. But as soon as they started to defend themselves, then this bold anti-Semitism was on the rise in America as well. What can we as God's people do about that?
Well, you know what? We knew they had about 2 days before everything changed. And I think against Israel, we knew that's what was going to happen. They were going to go in. There's no way you cannot respond to that. And so everybody's saying, hold back, hold back. And of course, they don't want innocent Palestinians to be killed. Nobody does. But it's so hard because of the tunnels under Gaza, where they're able to, Hamas is hiding. The leaders are in Doha, Qatar, at a ritzy, you know, home that they own there. And which is so sad, but the people are on the ground. Hamas leaders are underground in tunnels and different hiding places. And so anyway, it looks horrible. It looks awful. And so what's happened is a rise of anti-Semitism has come up in just a few days. And we were seeing this. We've been seeing this in different countries throughout the world, the anti-Semitism just rising. I'm appalled at what's happening on some of the secular college campuses. They even deny the Holocaust. I mean, it's just absolute insanity. We're seeing that. But it's just this demonic spirit that's rising up of anti-Semitism. They're the only people in the world that have a term for racism just reserved for them, anti-Semitism. Right. No other race does. And so this has happened before, and it's happened throughout their history. So we need to have no part of that. And also, I would just say this, Susie, when people say, I've heard people say, we just need to go and bomb Gaza to the smithereens and level it so nobody survives. And I've heard believers say that. I say, really? Did you know you have brothers and sisters in Christ there? And they're in about the worst situation you can imagine globally. That's not the answer. There's a church there. There's underground former Muslims that love Jesus. There's people there that would give anything to get out of the Gaza Strip. They don't support this. So, again, it's that kingdom view we've got to have. But anti-Semitism, it's on fire around the world. It's spreading. It's multiplying. And I think this is only going to add to it. But we are living in the days, just like Isaiah said, where evil's called good and good is called evil. And again, it's no surprise when you see what's happening in our country and other countries around the world.
Then our shame becomes our glory. So as Christians, I can't say this enough. I know the enemy's wanting to distract us. This is such hard news that the temptation is to numb out, to entertain yourself to death, to pretend we're not in these days. But you were born for such a time as this. And you think about Esther, right, when her uncle said that to her. Who knows? If you were born for such a time, I mean, this is a time to fast, to pray, to get on our knees, to seek God. And we just got a few minutes before this next break. And tell me if this is too big of an answer for this short time. You can maybe start. But one of the things that I've been watching social media and some of these rants is that they're saying that, you know, Christians have this backwards, that it was the Jewish people who've held the Palestinians under their thumb. They've been the aggressor. They've been the oppressor. And this is the Palestinians just trying to break free. What would you say to that?
Mm-hmm. Well, Palestinians and Jews in many ways work together. In fact, they get visas, Palestinians to come out of Gaza, to come out of the West Bank and work.
And work in Israel.
They get paid four times as much as they do in their own where they live. And so it's been a blessing to them. This is hurting Palestinians a ton because their economy collapses if they're not attached to Israel. So, yes, there is a security fence and in some places a wall between Israel and the West Bank. You go from Jerusalem to Bethlehem and there's a 26-foot high wall. So it's difficult. They have to have passes, but Israel had to do that for security when, especially with Hamas coming in, because there was just too many things happening during the Intifada, buses blowing up, pizza joints, Hebrew University. So they had to do it. They don't feel good about it. And as one Jewish woman asked me, Susie, once when I first saw the wall, she said, what do you think about the wall? And I said, well, it's necessary for security, but it's sure hard for the Palestinians. And she said, we're the Jews. When we came into Israel originally, the walls fell down in Jericho, and we don't like walls, but we pray that they'll stop bombing us and shooting rockets and trying to sneak in. And if they do, those walls are going to come down. So I think that's been the hope of people in Israel. We don't want that. But yet here, look at what's happening now. They're wondering, can they ever keep themselves safe again?
So the idea or the notion that they're the oppressor, they're the aggressor. Again, some of the posts I saw, Palestinians can't make a move. They're always under Israelis' thumb and they're told what to do, what to say. That's just wrong.
Well, I mean, there's certainly been heartbreak for them. If you lived in Bethlehem and you used to just drive your car 6 miles into Jerusalem, you know, it was not a problem. Now they have to have an ID check and all of that. So it has been hard. Israel is.
So there is a control because of protection. Yeah. I see what you're saying.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. So it is hard for them, but it's not to just beat down the Palestinians. It's just to keep Israelis safe.
Wow. Okay, we're going to pause here. When we come back, I'm going to ask you to talk about some of the passages of Scripture that you've been meditating on. And you've got some miracle stories to share as well. Maybe your heart needs that as well as mine, friend. But I pray that this really is a wake-up call, that, you know, Hebrews talks about throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles and run this race marked before you. Fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of your faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the Father. Let us consider him who endured such scorn from sinful men that we might not grow weary and lose heart. It's not a time to lose heart. It is a time to rise up and worship God, praise him, get on our knees and pray, and to ask God, what do you want me to know? What do you want me to do? Jamie Winship's famous two questions. More with Tom Doyle in a moment. Thanks so much for tuning in today to Suzy Larson Live, having a really important conversation with our good friend Tom Doyle. He and his wife Joanne join us every once in a while to get a faith perspective from the Middle East, and his books are absolutely amazing. They read like novels. And today, he was gracious enough. We're not talking about his books, but we're talking about the real-time crisis in the Middle East. And if you just tuned in, once the live show is over, please go back and catch the podcast and hear it from the beginning as we talked about and kind of set up context for what's going on in the Middle East. And I'm wondering if there are passages that you keep finding yourself returning to in these days as we watch this painful scenario unfold in the Middle East.
You know, Susie, this is one that Joanne has talked to me about over the years. We always share this when we're in Israel, and it's Micah 7, verse 7. And she calls it the rocking chair verse. And it says this, "But as for me, I watch in hope for the Lord. I wait for God, my Savior. My God will hear me." And Joanne always kind of shows this, how she rocks back, forward, and backwards in a rocking chair. I'm watching. Is this the day that the Lord is going to do something? She goes back. I'm waiting in hope. Is this the day that he will move? And so that's been special to us right now, because that's happening on both sides of the fence. Believers on both sides, Israelis that are in the military, there's Jewish believers in the military that are in harm's way, and they are doing their job and trying to do their best, but they're asking the Lord, are you going to help? Are you going to intervene? I need you here. And then just this simple verse that we know, and so many times, my old professor at Dallas Seminary, Howard Hendricks, said, most days we need to open the Bible and just say to ourselves, read this passage as if the first time you've ever read it. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of times we're familiar with the passage, and immediately in our mind, we might think, oh, yeah, I know that passage. It's not a quiz. It's for armor for the day. And I just love this. John 15:7, the vine and the branches. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. And that's our great hope in Jesus. We're not moved in him by this. We're remaining, we're abiding, and we expect our prayers to be answered. We expect them. We're believing them to be answered. And as one former Muslim in Jordan said to me once, Susie, he said, Tom, do you ever hear that question I hear Americans say, do you think God still does miracles today? And I said, yeah, I hear it all the time. He goes, that question should never be on the table, ever. Of course he does miracles. He's God. Here's the question for believers. Do we expect miracles? Wow. Are we expecting him? And that's what we need to hang on to now. We're waiting for them. We're in the rocking chair going back and forth, waiting, watching. Lord, are you going to do something today? We know he's going to come through in these situations.
So good. I want to read a few passages that are standing out to me. There's several that I've been sitting with. But this is from 1 Peter. All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is by his great mercy that we've been born again, because God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. Listen to this. Now we live with great expectation, and we have a priceless inheritance, an inheritance that's kept in heaven for you, pure, undefiled, beyond the reach of change or decay. And through your faith, God is protecting you by his power until you receive this salvation, which is ready to be revealed on the last day for all to see. Your salvation, that goes back to that passage. All of creation groans for the day when God reveals who his children are. There's an inheritance day ahead for you that everybody's going to see, and God's going to claim you as his own and be glad to do it. So that the next verse does say, so be truly glad. There's wonderful joy ahead, even though you must endure many trials for a little while. These trials will show that your faith is genuine. It's being tested as fire tests purifies gold, though your faith is far more precious than mere gold. So when your faith remains strong through many trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on that day. Remember, that day's coming when Jesus Christ is revealed to the world. Your faith will be a testament on that day. So what you're believing God for now, if you're expecting miracles now, if you're remembering you're an heir now, instead of opting for fear, you opt for faith. That's equity in the kingdom that will be revealed on that great day. You love him even though you've never seen him. Though you do not see him now, you trust him and rejoice with a glorious, inexpressible joy. Listen to this. The reward for trusting him will be the salvation of your souls. And this good news has been pronounced to you by those who preached in the power of the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. It's also wonderful that even the angels are eagerly right now watching things unfold. Think about that. I've got a little bit more for you here, and I hope you don't mind, but don't you just got to love God's word here. Mm-hmm. So prepare your minds for action. Exercise self-control. I mean, I forgot it even said that when I told you what I when I was talking about get focused on what God is doing right now. And I mean, there's a bait of distraction. The enemy wants to lull you into apathy. But scripture says, prepare your minds for action. Exercise self-control. Put all of your hope in the gracious salvation that will come to you when Jesus Christ is revealed to the world. So you must live as God's obedient children. Don't slip back into your old ways of living to satisfy your own desires. You didn't know better back then. Now you must be holy in everything you do. That even includes your response to what's going on right now. Just as God who chose you is holy. For the scripture says, you must be holy as I am holy. And I mean, I could go on and on. But don't you just love God's word? I mean, there's such exhortation here. This is really where we need to camp.
That's so true. And I'm thinking of this one right now, Susie. Thank you for that. That just helps build us up. Colossians 3:1-4. I just love this. And I memorized this years ago. And I thank God when my mind was stronger back in the 20s, when I could remember things better and memorizing scriptures. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts and things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things, for you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. Amen to that. And isn't it hard with the news right in our face to keep our heads and our hearts up where they need to be? We know God's going to come through. We know this is going to end. We know Jesus is going to be victorious, and one day he's going to appear, and all of this will be over. We look forward to that.
Yeah, scripture says they stumble because they do not obey God's word. So they meet the fate that was planned for them. But you are not like that. Listen to this, friend. You are a chosen people. You are royal priests, a holy nation, God's very own possession. As a result, you can show others the goodness of God. You can show others the goodness of God, for he called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you had no identity as a people, now you're God's people. Once you received no mercy, now you've received God's mercy. So, dear friends, I warn you, listen, as temporary residents and foreigners, keep away from worldly desires that wage war against your very souls. And this is the thing, is when we try to look at everything supposed to wrap up in a nice bow in this life, we're going to live with constant disappointment and fear. But if we know we're foreigners, we're passing through to a most holy city, and we're going to live as citizens of heaven, it will help us take the next faith step that we need to take. We're going to pause here. Okay, when we come back, I've been promising you, Tom has some stories that will encourage you behind the scenes that you're not going to hear on the news of miracle intervention. And this is the thing, as he said earlier, our prayers matter. And think about when Daniel prayed and the Lord told him that angels were activated as soon as he started to pray. Imagine you praying for Palestinians, for the Jewish people, for the division in our own nation, which weakens us. Action happens in the heavens. So this is not a time to numb out, not a time to tap out or check out. It's a time to step up, engage, and pray and believe, because there's a God in heaven who hears you when you pray. And he moves when you pray. We'll be back in a minute.
I'm Angela Smith, host of Reading the Bible Together. And have you ever read the book of Matthew? You know, at the very beginning when it has the whole genealogy of Jesus, and read or tried to read through those difficult names and thought, who are these people? What are their stories? You know, why are they listed here? In our next reading plan, we're going to be looking at five of the women in Jesus's genealogy. It's called Unexpected, Five Women in the Lineage of Jesus. We're going to take a look at Tamar. Who was she? You know, what is her story? We're going to look at Rahab and Ruth and Bathsheba and Mary, Jesus's mother. All the women who you're going to hear on the podcast have contributed to the study guide. You can get your hands on that study guide at myfaithradio.com and sign up. I sure hope that you'll do this study with us so that the next time you go and read Jesus's genealogy, you'll recognize some of those names and know some of those stories. You can get that study guide at myfaithradio.com, and you can listen to Reading the Bible Together podcast wherever you listen to podcasts.
Thanks for tuning in today to this very important conversation. Susie Larson here. This is Susie Larson Live. Our good friend Tom Doyle joins us every once in a while to give us a faith perspective on the Middle East. And if you've not checked out his books, you've got to. He's also co-authored books with his wife, and they all read like fast-paced novels, but they're true stories of Muslims who've come to the faith, whose lives are in danger because they're chasing after Jesus. I'm telling you, they'll wreck you and they'll build your faith up all at the same time. But today we're talking about a real-time war happening in Israel right now, in the Gaza Strip, and what kind of perspective we need to have. If you just tuned in, we've been talking for quite a while now. Once the live show's over, go back and catch the podcast after the fact. And what we're wrestling to do is get a redeemed and faith perspective. If you're finding that today in this conversation, share this show with a friend who maybe is battling fear or battling rage. But you know, whatever it is they're battling, it's not bearing good fruit. They're not landing in a good place. Somehow we've got to wrestle through these hardships till we get back to peace and perspective and faith. So, Tom, tell us about a few stories. Like, you talked about the rescue of an American in a terrorist-patrolled dangerous area in the West Bank.
Yeah, there was a young lady that was trapped in the West Bank somewhere. She's an American. And our friends, we've been getting a lot of texts, as you can imagine. Are you in Israel? No, we're not. Oh, okay, we're glad. And then, you know, here's this situation. Well, it ended up that this young lady was there, worked with the team, and was not able to get out of the West Bank for some reason with her team. And she was there alone, hiding in her rented house for 3 days. She was hiding under a blanket, and there were terrorist groups patrolling up and down her street every 20 to 30 minutes. So this is a single lady. She's seen out the window as she just peeks from behind the curtain, terrorist groups dressed in all black with the green bandana on. And the I think it's called the revenge mask. It's the Guy Fawkes mask, which is a white porcelain with the mustache and the pointy beard. It looks like Satan himself. That's kind of the new thing to wear. And so they're looking for her, and she is trapped. And we're going back and forth, texting her and our son Josh and Thomas.
While she was hiding?
While she was hiding, we're talking to her. She's under a blanket. We're trying to get her out, and our sons got involved, and they know a lot of people in Israel. And so Josh ended up talking to some outside of the West Bank, and it was some of the Israelis, and they were saying, well, we think the checkpoint's open. It's probably okay. But they didn't know what was happening in the West Bank. They don't live there, and the news was spotty. And so our son said, listen, this is a young American girl, looks very American. This is what's happening. And they are pounding on the door, and there's AK-47s. They have knives in their hands, and she is stuck. We need to pray for some calm and then get her out. And the Israelis said, absolutely, we need to get her out. So it ended up that she was able to, in the middle of the night, she dressed up in a burqa, got into a car. A trusted friend that works in the West Bank got her to the checkpoint. And the Israelis said, she pulled off the burqa, showed her American passport. Well, what are you doing in there? And she said, it's a long story, believe me. But she was spared. And I'm telling you, if she would have been trapped, who knows what would have happened if they would have captured her. But they were that close. And when they were beating on her door, and it's a metal door or they would have broken it down. She said, I felt like my soul was leaving my body. This is it. But Jesus rescued her. Jesus rescued her. It's just an amazing thing that happened.
Wow.
Also a Holocaust survivor that is 100 years old, that lives down in the area by Sderot, and there's Ofakim. You've been seeing those areas that were hit by the terrorists. He didn't know anything was going on. Of course, there was no news, and he heard some noise out in the street. He came to faith in Christ at 99.
Oh, my.
Aaron did. 99-year-old Holocaust survivor that loves Jesus, and he's an evangelist, and he's telling everyone about Jesus, the Messiah. And so it ends up that he hears noise out in the street, doesn't know that Hamas has taken over the city, doesn't know that they've killed all the police in the city, and he walked outside, and a woman was down. He didn't know that she was shot. He went over to see her. The son comes running up, and he gets shot by terrorists. Hamas were right on that block, right there. He saw them 15 feet away and realized what was going on and thought, I'm dead. He actually got back into his apartment, and he survived. And he said, I know it's just the Lord Jesus that saved me. There's no other explanation for it. So when we ask ourselves these questions, Janet, like, where was God in this? You know, we know Jesus is on the throne, but we want him to act. These are like beams of light straight from heaven to give us encouragement. And also, Muhammad that I told you about in Gaza has been sending out texts of encouragement to Israelis in Israel, saying that I love you, I'm praying for you, we are brothers, we don't want anything to do with Hamas, we're praying for you. And they are so incredibly touched by that, that they're sending back words of affirmation to Muhammad in Gaza Strip right now. So it's horrible situation, obviously, but Jesus is moving, and we're seeing miracles. We're expecting more, and we're going to hear about more as the dust settles. But anyway, these are some of the things you won't hear on the news, that's for sure.
Wow. Talk about some of the conversations you and Joanne have been having behind the scenes as you've watched this all unfold.
You know, it's been heavy. We gathered our family and showed them a little PowerPoint on what this is all about, because people are looking for answers, and what does this mean, and why is this happening, and why is America so polarized over it? So we have just been praying for, first of all, that the Jewish state would be safe and secure. That's the best solution in the Middle East, is that the Jewish state is secure and established, and it's a freedom-loving country. Palestinians that live in Israel love being there. They're not want to move into the Gaza Strip and be controlled by Hamas. And so we're praying for both sides, obviously, but first praying that Israel would get safe and secure. Then we're also praying that Hamas would be taken out some way, that they would either come to faith in Christ, which seems like that could never happen, but is anything too hard for God, or that there would no longer be Hamas in the Gaza Strip and in the West Bank trying to force the Palestinian people into terrorism. They just have one card they can play, and that's it. They get so irrelevant with the people because they don't help with food, water, anything, that finally they attack Israel and try to flex their muscles and say, we're the great defenders of the Palestinians. So that's what we're praying for solution-wise there. But then we're praying that believers on both sides would come together. And don't you just love that, how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell in unity? And who would think that there are Palestinians and Jewish believers that love each other and are praying for the same outcome? So we're praying that the world can see that. We're praying that the world can see that this happens, and that's a real thing happening behind the scenes. This is not anything, this isn't anything, Susie, that the United Nations can pull off. This can only happen when you have a heart change and Jesus Christ becomes the Lord of your life.
Indeed. Amen. Tom, as we're speaking, you're receiving messages from one of the young men that you've been referring to in today's show, getting texts from him. Tell us what you know.
Well, he is he's in the midst of it. Of course, he lives right among some of the bad guys in the refugee camps. They can't move. They can't really leave. They like to go south if they can. Doesn't have a car or any way to get there, but he was essentially saying goodbye. He said, I don't think that I will make it through this day, and I love you in Jesus, and pray for my family. So that's where he is. He even said that some former Muslims that had become believers happened to be in the wrong place, and they were killed. And so that's what's happening in Gaza. On the other side of the fence, I mean, if that isn't horrifying enough, we know of Holocaust survivors, six that our ministry works with, that were killed brutally. And there's still 25 missing. So these are just prayer points that Body of Christ, it's the best time to just be on our knees for people in Israel, people in Gaza. It's a mess. It's war. Jesus is going to be victorious over it. We pray everyone that we know that will die will know Jesus as Savior there. So that's a really important thing to pray right now in the midst of this.
God, we pray for Tom's dear friend. And we know that our days are numbered. Our days are written in your book. And Lord Jesus, we pray for this dear friend of Tom's. If he's fulfilled his mission, may he know only peace that passes understanding as he passes from this life to glory. But Lord, if it is not his time, we thank you by faith for surrounding him with your shield of favor and protecting and directing him. We lift everybody up in this situation. In your precious name, we pray your kingdom come and your will be done. Lord, cut off the strength of the wicked and increase the power of the God. That's what your word tells us to pray. And so we pray in your name. Amen.
Amen.
Thanks for listening to this conversation from Suzy Larson Live. These podcasts are available because of listener support. You can become a supporter now at myfaithradio.com. And thanks for sharing this audio link to spread the good news of the gospel and to grow the impact of the show. Also, if you would, take a moment to subscribe to the podcast today at Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast player, and never miss a show.